The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "Stop judging that you may not be judged. For as you judge, so will you be judged. And the measure with which you measure will be measured out to you. Why do you notice the splinter in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the wooden beam in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me remove that splinter from your eye,' while the wooden beam is in your eye? You hypocrite. Remove the wooden beam from your eye first, then you will see clearly to remove the splinter from your brother's eye." The Gospel of the Lord. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. If you ever have to bet your last nickel on which verse of the Bible is simultaneously the most quoted and the least understood, bet on this verse. Stop judging that you may not be judged. You know, everybody quotes that. Don't judge. And it's so widely misunderstood, as you know, popularly, the idea "don't judge" is taken to mean don't declare anything to be morally right or morally wrong. Blanket coverage for every behavior, and as we all know, the only thing morally wrong is to say that something is morally wrong, right? It's used as a conversation stopper, basically. Stop judging. God alone will judge me. A thought, by the way, which should strike fear into your heart. Because God really does know, okay? God, we tell you, when that day comes, little advice. Skip over the details and go straight to mercy, okay? That's what we all need. But it doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean don't declare anything right or wrong. You know what it means? It means that you can't know someone's heart. That's what it means. You can and you must judge actions. Otherwise, a lie is the same thing as the truth. Or theft is the same thing as honesty. Or courage is the same thing as cowardice. You can and you must judge actions. But nobody can know somebody else's heart. Nobody can know their guilt or their innocence before God. Only God can know that. But, you know, don't be bamboozled when this phrase comes up. Understand the difference between what this phrase means and what it does not mean. It's a difference that was well understood by our two saints for today. Two of my favorites, St. John Fisher and St. Thomas More, both martyrs in England in the year 1535. John Fisher was a priest and a bishop. Thomas More was a government official and a layman. Both of them stood up for the rights of the church and for the sanctity of matrimony, and they paid for it with their lives. A little tiny bit of history to help us put this day into context. 1535. Now, if you remember your history, the big deal going on in 1535 was the Protestant Reformation. Ulrich Zwingli, John Calvin, Martin Luther, they were turning Europe upside down and inside out, and people were questioning what religion meant and their relationship with the government meant, and entire nations were walking away from the church. Very, very tumultuous time. But one thing was absolutely certain in 1535, and that was England was safely Catholic. Everybody knew it. That's because the King of England, Henry VIII, was the most Catholic leader in the whole world. Pope Leo X had named him the honorary title Defender of the Faith because he'd written a book called The Defense of the Seven Sacraments. Yeah, you gotta be doubly careful whenever you think that anything in this world is absolutely certain, because it's all sand. It's all sand under our feet. And that would be proven in time. Because the king, the great King Henry VIII, he had two big problems. Problem number one, He could not produce an heir to the throne. His wife was named Catherine of Aragon. And child after child after child was born to poor Catherine, and they died in childbirth or they died of illness at a young age again and again, and there was no stable heir to the throne. And if that doesn't seem like too big of a problem to you, remember, when there's no heir to the throne, that means it's going to lead to war. Now, England had just come off of 32 years of war because there was no heir to the throne. Nobody wanted to return to those days, so the king had himself a big problem. But the king had himself another big problem. Namely, King Henry had a legendary libido. He just couldn't stick to one lady, right? So what King Henry decided to do was very cleverly to solve both problems at once. He would simply divorce his wife, Catherine, and he would marry his current lady that year. Her name was Anne Boleyn. So it was really very simple. He would just petition the church for an annulment, and he'd get married again. But the church wouldn't give him an annulment. The church said that his marriage to Catherine was just and permanent, dissolvable only by death. And so what King Henry did was he decided to ride the Protestant wave. He said, hey, everybody else is doing it. So he just declared himself to be head of the church, gave himself an annulment, got rid of poor Catherine and married Mistress Anne Boleyn. All up and down the countryside, all of his majesty's subjects and nobles pronounced his actions to be just and good, with two notable standouts, John Fisher and Thomas More. John Fisher was Bishop of Rochester and Chancellor of Cambridge University, a position of no small prestige. And he lobbied before Parliament itself about the injustice of Henry's unlawful actions, which led to riots in the city of London. So the Pope intervened, Pope Paul III, and he said, I'll help out John Fisher. I'll name him a cardinal. That'll help him. That'll give him more prestige and more influence. But it only had the opposite effect. It enraged the mob and enraged the king, for which the point King Henry said to the Pope, there's no need to mail John Fisher's cardinal's hat to London. I'll simply mail his head to Rome. And they tried him as a commoner to speed up his trial, because he was supposed to be executed on the 24th of June, which was the feast of John the Baptist. John the Baptist, a man who died opposing the unlawful marriage of a king. King Henry didn't like that idea, so he sped up his execution and had him hung, drawn, and quartered on this day in 1535, a martyr for the faith, St. John Fisher. St. Thomas More's case is a bit more widely known because his story was made into a famous play and an Oscar-winning movie. Thomas More would not provoke a fight with a king. Instead, he kept his silence as long as he possibly could until he was forced to admit his deeply held convictions. He lost his friendship, he lost his title, he lost his property, he even had his family exiled until he was finally forced to admit, no, what the king has done is wrong. And for that, he was beheaded on Tower Hill on the 6th day of July in 1535. His famous last words, I die His Majesty's good servant, but God's servant first. Now, there should never be a conflict between the laws of God and the laws of society, the laws of the land. Unfortunately, though, there often is. And as you well know, that describes the land we're living in right now. As we sit or stand right here this morning, we are outlaws in the Catholic Church, because we say that marriage is between one man and one woman, and nobody can change that definition. It comes from God himself. We also say there's a difference between a man and a woman. It's not just a state of mind. It's a biological reality. It's a spiritual reality. It's an emotional reality. And no Congress or no court can change that. Once upon a time, people would have said that you'd be crazy to say that's against the law, but those are the days we've arrived in. I don't know what the future is going to hold. I'd like to follow the example of Thomas More, not provoking a fight, but standing our ground when necessary. But I do believe that both Thomas More and John Fisher are role models for us in our own time. And if it ever should have to come to it, let's follow their good example, that we might be able to say with Thomas More, I die God's servant first. Let's pray for the grace to have their strength and ask for their intercession today. St. John Fisher and St. Thomas More, pray for us.